Greetings, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that unquestionably challenges you to think outside the box of convention and to explore with me and my great guests the many other possibilities available in the free thought zone. That's where we will journey to today during the program. Everything is available to us. No holding back. We are not mainstream. We are the alternative truth, and thank you for being part of that truth. So stay tuned. Here we go. Get ready for another hour of out there information. And this is Patricia Corr, your host for Beyond the Matrix, with my new show at 9 p.m. on Saturdays. Every other Saturday, we are, as I've said, we're cranking it up. We are ramping up the energy. It is time to really scream and shout. Not that we haven't been doing that so far. And just turn up the volume. And that's what we're doing on Beyond the Matrix. And certainly so many other important guests who and hosts, radio, media, alternative people who are helping all of us wake up to the reality of our world and the shift that we're going through. I'm going to be talking with an amazing guest today, but before I bring him on, I just want to start by talking about a little segue that will lead into introducing him. November 2011, I took one of my sacred tours to Egypt, brought 50 people up to the Hatshepsut Temple, which is a very important site for me, as many of you will know if you've read my book, where pharaohs dwell. We had a 4 o'clock private access in the cool of the Saharan desert. And as we looked, as we were up at the top of this incredible temple, I was leading people in a meditation. And then I stopped and said, no, lie down and look up. And I asked for beings to show themselves, for craft to come, and for them to show themselves because they've given me so much personally. And I said, please, for the others, please come. Bingo, we get an instant craft overhead, which started to traverse the skyline. And a few of the people in the group said, oh, my God, what's that, a satellite? And I said, no, I don't think so. And it made an immediate 90-degree turn. And then went doot-doot-doot-doot up on the horizon. And somebody said, that can't be a UFO. And it made another 90-degree turn and continued to cross over the sky. And we got a second craft after that. And the reason why I bring that up now is because my incredible guest, James Gilliland, who is no newcomer to anybody who's listening tonight, mentions the 90-degree turn on his site. And I thought, well, isn't that exciting? Because it certainly is one very strong proof of the intelligent, the intelligence behind these sightings and these craft about in our skies. So that said, it is my honor to have the wonderful James Gilliland on my show today. Tonight, I've got to get used to saying tonight. You've heard of him, of course. Many of you are very familiar with his wonderful work. I have never had the pleasure of talking with him or having him on my show. So this is going to be a killer evening. James is a minister. He's a counselor. He's a lecturer, best-selling author. He's all over the place, all over the media. But what we're interested in is his amazing East Seti Ranch and the goings-on that occur in this mystical realm. Certainly, it's about him being there. Although he does say that this is a site the Native Americans, I don't mean to be offensive, have for a long time declared this as a point of contact. But now we're going to hear it directly from James. Thank you very much, James, for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
It's a delight, and I follow you now, so it's a beautiful segue for my new schedule on BBS.
Yeah, great. Yeah, it's getting really interesting lately. I know that I'm sure you're aware of the energies coming in lately, and boy, it's off the scale. This past week, we are just getting slammed with one gamma ray burst and solar flares and solar streams and the electron spectrum is off the scale. So it's a time of just intense change, you know, with all the earthquakes and volcanoes going off right now. It's the earth is ripe, you know, she's getting ready to birth us into a whole new world.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you've been seeing some of the photos of the sun with this hole in the middle of the sun. It, there's a debate going on about these photographs, but, you know, the sun, the beautiful sun knows exactly what to do is one of the terms in my work. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's right in position. And I'd love to talk to you about that as well. The sun is a portal, multidimensional portal. We've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. There's ships kind of coming in and out of the sun. You know, the sun is funny because people think the sun is hot, you know, all the way through the center, but it's actually the opposite. It's a black hole at the center, and it's actually a doorway to another dimension. But the scientists now are just starting, you know, there's theories about that now, and they're starting to figure that out. But what we're looking at is the event horizon, you know, on the outside of the sun, you know, on the surface. But, you know, the big question people need to ask is, why do they call them black holes, you know? But why is it black? You know,
right.
It's pretty obvious.
Well, the central theme in my work, I don't know if you're familiar with my work, the Syrian Revelations, is that the sun is actually the ascension process is not just the planet, but actually the whole solar system. And the sun will be moving through its own astral cord, which is, in fact, what we, the scientists, call the black hole. So, you know, these are all theories, but, you know, one thing is clear, and that is the sun is at the center of attention here. And right. The shift, the sun itself is just, it just, wow. Did you see this incredible footage of this, let's call it a ship, that came into the sun's atmosphere and then plugged in? It looked like it was plugging in and taking energy out.
Yeah, I did. I saw that, and I have some NASA footage from a long time ago where these ships are parked right next to the sun, and it's just unbelievable. And you'll see the sun blast off a flare, and this ship will actually, and the ship is bigger than the Earth. You know, it's a huge ship.
And I've seen that it deflects the blast, right?
Yeah, it deflects the blast. Those would have been the kill shots that, you know, Ed Dames and all these other people saw in the future, you know. But so we're getting a lot of help, you know, with the higher dimensional beings are helping us to get through these shifts and these changes.
I really would like to also believe that the sun is going to help us with this radiation problem. I'd love to have your take on that, because I'm getting that this, of course, we're being told, we're sold the big fear story about the sun and these immense blasts, but we've got a big problem on this planet, which is the radiation. Not even leakage, it's just engulfing the planet. And I'd like to think that somehow these blasts are going to help clean that up. What's your feeling about that?
Definitely. You know, the gamma ray blasts that we're getting hit with from, you know, a lot of them are coming in from Cygnus, and they're coming in from Taurus and all these other systems. We've been getting bombarded with about 500 hits per day with these strange cosmic energies and, you know, coming outside of our system that are slamming into the Earth. And it used to be about 50, so it's up to about 500. And we're moving through a highly energized place in space, you know, and the alignment with galactic plane with the magnetic frequency. So, you know, gamma is the seventh dimensional energies. That's the plane of bliss, you know. That so we're getting bliss bombs over and over again that we're getting hit with these rays. The energies, what I'm seeing is that these mutations happening right now, the changes in the DNA, the frequency rising up in frequency, everything else, our bodies are going through a total transformation, which are not going to be so affected by any of these things that are happening on the planet right now. And it's kind of a race between our bodies lifting out of it. I mean, even carbon is changing its molecular I think it's carbon 14 to carbon 7 or something like that, which is a crystalline form. I might have that wrong. But we're going through incredible changes, and they're tied into changes on the sun. You know, the scientists have tied that in together. So we're going through a huge transmutation process, and it's a rough journey for some, because these energies are affecting the bioelectric fields around the body.
Exactly.
Creating anything that's held within your fields, like any of the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience, any of the childhood trauma, all that stuff is being activated right now and brought up for us to heal and to look at, you know,
right.
Including
As we're healers, we know that anytime you've got a mass of blocked energy moving that, if you're clinging to it, man, and you start to get these blasts, it's going to move. It's going to be painful. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Painful on many levels, even physically painful.
Yeah. And you're going to have physical problems. You're going to have, the reactions to your actions that are outside of universal law. You're going to have whatever you're going to magnetize people and events to you rapidly. You know, it's going to be the karma's accelerated rapidly. The action reaction period is accelerated rapidly. So,
I mean, there's
no way out. It's increasing exponentially and we've got to heal. You know, it's like the old saying, resistance is futile. It really is. We're either going to ascend with the earth and go to the next level, or we're going to work our stuff out somewhere else. You know,
I think hopefully my best message that I'm able to give people is understand your immortality, because that's where you're able to release everything. All the control issues you've got are released when you understand that you're just passing through here. And if you can grasp it, really, really grasp that you're an immortal being, everything falls away. You can just go through the process.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, too, it's funny because I've had experiences where, I mean, I feel like I'm going to die when my body's going through shifts and changes at times. And then I just go, God, I feel like this, I'm going to die. You know, should I go to the hospital or something? And then I go, you know what? I'm just going to relax into it and let go and let God, you know, and just focus on this too shall pass. And sure enough, it does. And then I wake up the next morning and I'm fine.
Well, you're certainly anchoring a lot of energy out there. Tell us about where you are, what you're doing, and how this came to pass that this branch was birthed and these incredible events are taking place there in your guidance, in guardianship.
Yeah, the ranch was spawned out of about 26 years ago now, where I had I was actually doing courses and self-mastery courses and inner sensitivity training classes in Santa Cruz, California. And I kept having visions over and over of this beautiful mountain, this huge mountain with a river and then a little mountain behind it. And I kept seeing the words Little Mountain Road, you know, Little Mountain in the vision. It didn't make sense. You know, why would they talk about a little mountain when there's this massive mountain in front of me? And then I found out the ranch is actually on Little Mountain Road because there's a little mountain behind me. But it's just, you know, I followed the visions. I used forms of divination on a map of the United States to find out where it was. And I came right to the property. And when I actually stood on the property, it was, you know, there's a giant cloud ship like over the mountain, those massive ones and it was lit up underneath with pink and orange energy. Really interesting. And then it looked like something out of that, you know, the Old Testament movie or whatever, you know, like where the mountain just starts changing and all the clouds start going up and it went into purples and violets. And it's just amazing. And I looked up and there was a couple bald eagles flying right over me, you know, circling, you know, so I had chills and everything running down my spine. And I knew this was it. This was the place. And then it already had a pretty good frequency here, but the land had been really abused. It was owned by a logger and there's trash everywhere and things like that. And so I kind of made peace with the nature spirits here and told them why I was here. And they weren't real happy in the beginning, you know? and so, you know, we kept good to our word and cleaned everything up. And, you know, now we have like beautiful ponds on the property. I've planted probably several thousand trees on the property. It's just all been restored into a, you know, pristine place with beautiful gardens and you know, brought in a lot of water to the place. So it's the property is so much better than when I found it. You know, all the trash and broken down cars and vehicles have been taken off of it. But we've been doing for about 26 years here, we've been doing very intense, you know, process oriented therapy, meditation work here, you know, clearing work, having gatherings. And we're actually having a huge gathering here on the June 28th, you know, to July 1st. We're having a big weekend. We've got like Neil Kramer, Spencer Barkley, Laura Eisenhower's coming up, Joel Garbin, and John Kelly, Itasha, and then myself, and then Mark Peebler and Victoria Lilinquist are all coming up, you know, this coming up on June 28th. But that's going to be another gathering. Every time we have these gatherings, the energy gets so high and the people are all focused, you know, on the higher consciousness and energy. And we do intention experiments, you know, sometimes with almost 300 people, 200 to 300 people. And the last one we did the intention experiment with, a beautiful pink orange ship flew right over the conference building and just blew everybody's mind. You know, they all got, and it was low too. We have it on film, but, you know, we had about 200 witnesses on that one. And, you know, William Henry was there. It was really funny. He was jumping up and down and screaming and going, "Oh my God." And he looked at me and I was just standing there and he goes, "You see this all the time, don't you?" And I go, "Yeah, pretty much, you know." But it was pretty hilarious. But it's a vortex. It's a really high energy place that accelerates the awakening and healing process. And, you know, it's a blessing and a curse in the same moment. You know, it's a blessing that you can come and heal. And, you know, we've had spontaneous healings here. It's an amazing place to get clear and heal. But it's also a place that just brings everything up. So if you're not really ready to own your stuff and heal, it'll throw you off the property, you know, just as fast.
Of course, that, you know, sometimes that's what it takes to heal, is just to get blasted.
Yeah.
To break through your shell.
Exactly.
But I'm interested, when you talk about craft, are you talking about actual physical craft, or are you talking about ultra-dimensionals?
Well, what's going on here is all the above. We actually have photographs of physical craft, you know, and we have photographs of light ships in every video of them too, and coming in every color you can think of: pink, blue, green, purple, you know, every color imaginable. We have massive triangle ships flying over, cylinder ships. We've got photographs of cylinder ships. There are pyramid ships as well. There's such a variety here that this is basically a stargate, and we're sitting right on top of a stargate, and they come over and they do their thing and put on a little show. I call it Dazzle Duty, and let people see them, and it's just an ongoing thing, you know.
Are you a contactee? Have you been as a young man? Have you been and child, have you been clairvoyant out? How do you feel that you fit into this greater scheme of things?
Well, I had contact ever since I was a kid, but I didn't understand it. And I saw ships when I was a kid. And I just, you know, everybody's trying to prove UFOs are real. And then I go, "Of course they're real." You know, I saw them all, you know, I saw them in my bedroom, you know, so the beings in my bedroom. So, but I didn't really understand what was going on till later. And then I had a near-death experience at 5 years old, and then I had another one at around 25, where I was just blown wide open and went through the tunnel and went to the plane of bliss and all that stuff and came back. So what happened was I as a child, you get indoctrinated into social consciousness and the schools and everything else, and you don't talk about any of this stuff because, you know, everybody thinks you're weird. And, you know, your abilities to connect with the other dimensional beings and the nature spirits and all that stuff kind of fades out. But when I had the near-death experience, everything came back. And I had the same sensitivity as a kid, but, like, even more so.
I'm also from childhood a contactee, so I really can relate to that. And I always tell people it's hard for me to... If you can imagine this, because so many people ask me what it's like to see these things, and I say that it's just as difficult for me to imagine not seeing them as it is for you to imagine seeing them. Because when you grow up with this faculty, it's normal. That's the normal for me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yeah, and I do. I feel that way. It's just, it's hard for me to, people go, "Do you believe in UFOs?" And I said, "How can you not believe in it?" It's like, I can't even, you know, even the, you know, back in the, I think it was 92 or something, I'm not sure exactly, they did a Time CNN poll, and 86% of the people believe that UFOs exist and there is a government cover-up. So you really look at that, you know, I don't see why people are still acting like there's a cover-up. I mean, the cover-up's over. It's you know, when you got 86% of the people believing the UFOs exist and there is a cover-up, I mean, why... why continue it? It just makes everybody involved look stupid.
Well, that's a very good thing to bring up. And the obvious, of course, answer is because it's about trying to hold on to some semblance of power. I mean, let's consider what a global population acknowledging extraterrestrial and ultra-terrestrial intelligence and consciousness is going to mean to their grid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you really think about it. If let's say a super advanced race of beings come here and they've conquered disease and poverty, you know, they lack for nothing. And, you know, they don't need oil. You know, they got fuelless energy. You know, they've got it all down and they show up here. I mean, you really think about it, you know, the pharmaceutical company, the oil company, the war industry, because there's nothing they can do about them. You know, they could just take out their toys.
That's right.
And they're all a mute point. You know, all of a sudden they just got, you know, they're no longer necessary, you know, and so that, I think that's the biggest threat of all is that bringing, you know, universal peace and brother, sister, love and individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. You know, they live according to these universal principles and their healthcare program is probably instant healing, you know, and no pills and nothing else involved. So, you know, all of these things, you know, they are totally against the hierarchy.
Yeah. If you consider that the global population is in strife, and this strife is brought on by war on every level and over-medicating, and we know all the problems, so I don't have to list them. But that is big money for the people that are in, let's say, at the momentarily in power on this planet. And you start bringing in, like you said, beings that, well, first of all, the shock factor, the overall global factor of humanity finally embracing the reality, not the idea, the reality of beings from beyond, conscious beings, light beings, hopefully, now being in contact with the earth. It's just put your guns down, put your pills down, you know, start thinking about what the real purpose of being alive is and what it means to be a citizen of the galactic realm.
Exactly.
How exciting.
Yeah, and you can imagine, you know, and one of the things that, you know, the global elite, whatever you want to call them, they can't stand is freedom and free time, because you start getting creative and you start thinking about things and new and different ways of doing things. They have to keep people really busy and their nose to the grindstone and going. But you can imagine, what if you didn't have any utility bills, you know, and what if you didn't have a gas bill, you know, to get your vehicle around, you know, and you can go on and on with this, you know, what if you didn't have, you know, healthcare, extreme healthcare costs, you know, and
what if you didn't have war to
pay? Exactly. I mean, how free would you be without, you know, what, 70 or 80% of your tax dollar going to war? You know, you really think about this whole program, you just go, wow. You know, and you know, but the people that are just totally capitalizing on all, you know, the war and disease profiteers all the way up, they just don't want to see this happen, you know, but it's really in their highest and best good that it does happen too, is, you know, because, you know, where are they going in their consciousness and their karma? You know, where are they going in their evolution by continuing with this? And what's going to happen to them when the higher energies flood in, which they are right now, that accelerate, you know, their choices and actions and the reactions, you know, and expose them for what they're doing. It's a no-win situation for them. So to me, it's like, you know, it's time to just let go and embrace this and, you know, get behind it and flow with it, or, you know, that they're going to be phased out. Basically, the earth is phasing into a new world, a new frequency, a new vibration, and the old vibration is being phased out. So they won't be frequency specific to the planet anymore. So anyway,
yeah, and they're holding on, clutching on.
Exactly.
But the wall is crumbling. But you said something that triggered a thought in my mind, and I've lost it. Let me just retrack here. Why do you think, I would have to think that when you said about them, about the old team, mm-hmm. I would have to think it's because they don't understand love and they do not understand immortality. they cannot, you have to be able to understand that to even be aware of what you're going to pay karmically for the deeds that you do. And I think that a lot of these beings, these people, whatever they are, don't even acknowledge that realm of consciousness.
Well, they seem to not, yeah, they don't understand universal law.
No, and they don't understand karma either.
Exactly. And if they did understand, I mean, that's basic. That's like 9-year-old 101 basic, you know, incarnation stuff.
Right. Because you can't, if you get that, even minimally, you can't do these dastardly deeds without knowing you're going to pay it back worse and worse each time.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been experiencing now is that there's people that are, they're disassociated. They're so disassociated from their spirit and soul, and they're running an ego program, you know, which is really coming from a very wounded ego or patterns and programs that they learned as a child, you know, and especially a lot of these Illuminati people, you know, you really think about the lack of love and foundation that they experienced as a kid. They have no foundation whatsoever. And you really think about them. They're so disassociated from the real wisdom and the real knowledge and universal law that they're just running on that program. And so a lot of them don't even know what they're doing is wrong. It's amazing. I've seen this over and over. They don't have any reference points to go by. But the problem is that, you know, the universal law doesn't care if you don't know or if you're ignorant. It's just action reaction. And, right. And so they are going to be taking themselves out and blowing it. And if they try to follow in the footsteps of their fathers or their parents or in the lust and the greed and the elitist program that grid is being done away with and there's a whole new grid coming in. So it's just not going to work for them. And they're going to take themselves out very quickly.
What do you mean that there's a whole new grid coming in?
Well, what's happening is that the best way to explain it, there's a vibrational continuum, and at the very top of the continuum is the source, God, creator, spirit, whatever you want to call it. Everybody has a different name for it. And in its most unlimited expression, and I experienced this in my near-death experience, I went into this golden light, you know, of consciousness and energy, and it was just pure love and joy and bliss, unimaginable. There's no words for it. You can't put a word on it. It's so far beyond anything we can comprehend. And then there's levels of that, you know. And so what's happening is like the source itself is pressing in down through the vibrational continuum, through the dimensions to the earth. And the earth is rising up. And so what's happening right now is that pure love and joy and bliss, it's a healing energy, but it also forces everything to rise and surface and be seen and healed, basically. And it's the function is healing, but it's not always pretty. You know, it's not how it unfolds is not always pretty. And that's up to us, you know, on whether or not we can surrender to it and flow with it. So basically that's my understanding is that the old grid of tyranny, you know, of elitism, of separation, all those programs is just being torn apart by this new grid coming in, which is unity consciousness. And the Mayans talk about it, about this wave, this ninth wave that's coming through, which is unity consciousness. So everything that's out of unity, that's running the separation game of the ego and, you know, is wounded or traumatized or whatever, all those low frequency energies, such as fear, guilt, unworthiness that they teach in the churches, you know, and, you know, all those programs, the separation game programs, are coming to an end. And so the elitist programs and the corporations that are capitalizing at the expense of humanity and the earth and the institutions, you know, that as you climb up these institutions, it gets darker and darker. You know, all those things are just being torn down. They don't have a support system, you know, in the grid. That grid is just being ripped apart. So it's just a matter of time before all this stuff unravels. It's unraveling right now, but we're in the unraveling process of the old grid, and there's a new world and a new grid coming in, you know, to take its place.
And can we, how do you feel about Monsanto, or do you see this monstrosity, Monsanto coming down anytime soon?
Yeah, Monsatan. Yeah, definitely. I am so pleased at this world movement right now to nail Monsanto, and I'm just appalled at our leadership. You know, but what do you expect, Adam? They're all just corporate puppets anyway. You know, there's no such thing as you know, there's no two-party system. It's a one-party system, and you know, everybody makes
party system. It's just a one overruling body of puppeteers.
Well, it's a corporate-sponsored dictatorial democracy is what we have, and to give us the illusion that we have a choice, you know, we vote. But the bottom line is the elite, you know, are running the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, are running the show at the top, and then they have their puppets on down
that's
the ladder.
Right.
But that's all coming to an end. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about that because there's a thing, and I've been talking a lot about lately, called the Archon Network. Mm-hmm. And the Archon Network is the best way to explain it. It's a collective of disembodied souls, like discarnate beings. There's some regenerate grays and reptilians in this network. Some people call it the Djinn. There's all these different names for it, but it's been around since the Nag Hammadi talks about it. It's been around for a long time. And this network, you know, the Christians call it the demons and things like that. But there's this network that's been in charge for a long time, and it's come into power. And if people understand how the network works, it's totally focused on externalizing everything, keeping you on an external process, like all your love and joy and acceptance and approval, everything comes through external means. You know, having the money, the car, you know, the drink the right beer, you know, the blonde, you know, in the suit, you know, playing volleyball.
The lower chakra stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff. Three chakra network is what it is. It's all designed to keep you trapped in the first three chakras and keep you disconnected from your heart and soul, you know, or the upper chakras, you know, which are, you get in the heart, it's love felt, and then love spoken, and God seen in all things, and I am God.
Okay, hold on a minute, James.
We're back, and we were speaking, James, about this little, we know it's not little, but let's talk about the Archon Force and your insights into how that's operating.
Yeah, the network. We talked earlier about just how how it works and how people are programmed through social consciousness, you know, and through the media and things like that. And they're so distracted from their sole purpose and why they're really here, because they've been given a whole different identity through this network. But to break out of it, it's kind of interesting. You got to just get out of it and get into nature and things like that. But the network, as you go up the network, let me take one, as you move up the corporations or even the political structures or whatever, you know, the institutions, even the religious institutions, as you move up this ladder, you know, they call it the ladder of success or whatever you want to call it. You move up the ladder, you usually have to tell a few lies or do a few things you don't feel good about in your soul. You know, yeah, this is not really good for the planet or the people or whatever, but, you know, this is what I need to do to get this job. So you go ahead and do it, you know, and as you move up the ladder, you got to tell a few more lies and you have to do a few more things that you know are not in the highest and best good of humanity and the earth. And then the further you go up the ladder, it just gets worse and worse and worse until you're so disconnected from your soul. Now you're totally plugged into the network and they own you basically. And as you get to the top of the network, you see people doing things that are just heinous. I mean, I don't even want to go into it. When you get up into the higher echelons of the Illuminati and the dark rituals that they do and what they do to children and everything else, it's so dark and ugly. It's beyond imagination. So, you know, they have the slave trades and child slavery and all, sex, you know, all that stuff going on. But, you know, it's just a real mess.
I think we're talking about the music industry here as a perfect example of how this energy is at work and how these people are when are totally disconnected, and then they are actually bringing in these disembodied energies, these entities.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you know, your career depends on how much you're going to do what the network tells you, or how much, you know, you're programmed by the network, basically.
But it's amazing to me that, and I don't want to dwell on this, but you look at some of these performers and this message, I mean, it's so in your face, blatant.
Yeah.
You know, that the children are being blasted with this stuff too. And I'm just can't believe that they get away with it. I just can't believe that there is not enough of a human outcry to stop it.
Yeah, that's true. Because most of humanity has been programmed. They don't even know they're in it. They don't even know they're in the network. But because it's okay, you know, it's okay to go out and, you know, let's say take fracking, you know, it's okay to pump all kinds of toxins into the earth and just extract some more oil, you know, and take fresh water and turn it into a polluted toxic mess, you know, and things like that, because that's your job. And, you know, we need the oil, you know, we need the gas or whatever. So, I mean, everybody has a reason for doing it, but what they're doing, they never really look at what they're doing and the impact on humanity or nature or the earth. So, I mean, you can go on and on. Again, like you said, I don't want to dwell on this, but people need to understand this network and how it operates. But as you move up the network, you know, you move up the levels, you know, you have the banksters, you know, and you have the big pharma, and you have Monsanto, and you have all these the major corporations and stuff. And you know, look what they're doing with GMO foods and what those are doing to humanity and the earth and the health, you know, and the rats full of tumors and cows dying and going sterile and farmers committing suicide because their, you know, their whole farm failed because of them. But, you know, you can go on and on with this. But as you go up the network, you actually start going into the unseen. And the unseen are the ones that these guys call on and they work with. And all they care about is power over others. They don't care about empowering others, or they have no concept of unity consciousness or anything else. And so they do call on this network. And the network is pretty vast. It's pretty ugly. It's pretty dark. And then that's where you run into these demonic type energies, you know, the regenerate grays and reptilian energies and some serpent energies as well that are pretty nasty. And people need to be aware of this. And people go, well, you're paranoid, you know, you're saying things. And I said, well, you know, let's take the war industry. How can you go and level a whole city, you know, with men and women and children, families, pregnant women and things like that, and be okay with it? I mean, how can your soul just not go, oh my God, and just cry out and not have any empathy whatsoever or feelings or sadness or even understand the karmic implications of that? You know, how can you do that if you're not totally disassociated, you know, from?
Well, yeah. And if you look at what they're doing to our own, the military, these poor people are bombarded, their test tubes for every kind of vaccine, they're bombarded with meds, they're being robotized into droid, what do we call them, Borgs. I mean, they're already half Borgs as it is.
Exactly.
And you know, they're sold, you know, they're under the influence of these heavy meds. They're shown the enemy, and they're desensitized to anything resembling humanity. You know, this latest thing about how the military being trained to shoot at children, pregnant women, etc.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So they,
it is. Well, it's very unbelievable. And like you, I don't like to dwell on it. On the other hand, I don't shy away from talking about these things because we have got to be aware of it so that we can reverse it.
Yeah, and so what we have to look at too is like what is inspiring that kind of action. Why would anything be so inhuman, inhumane? I mean, how could you do anything like that if you weren't totally inhuman? And that's what we need to get at. Like what happened to the humanness? Where did it go? And how could anything? And when you start understanding this network, it actually feeds off the pain and the suffering and the chaos and the division and all the, it's. And it lives in that frequency, and it needs to hold that frequency so it can continue to exist. And once people understand this and understand that they are actually in many ways supporting this network or being a willing participant in this network. And when they understand what this network is, pretty soon people will start pulling out of it and no longer support it. And that's what's happening on a big scale, you know, with the big marches now against Monsanto and the marches for peace and the people and the marches against the banksters, you know. All of these things right now, people are waking up and they're starting to see this network, but they're just seeing the pawns. You know, they're not seeing who's manipulating the pawns. And a lot of people aren't realizing that there's a loving, joyous, wise, and powerful manifesting God or goddess within them that can deal with this network, especially if they join together and made their own personal God connection, whatever you want to call it, creator spirit connection, and joined together and started focusing the love and the light on this situation and just blowing this network out. And the good news is that is happening on the higher dimensions, which are pressing into this dimension. And that whole network is going down. It's being disassembled now by the higher dimensional beings, by people here on earth that are awake. A lot of incarnated children are holding a frequency and they're not buying into any of this network. And that's what we're seeing right now is we're in the throes of the total dismantling of this, the old world, the old network. And the more we wake up and realize what it is and start participating on dismantling it and not participating in any way whatsoever, that the closer we can get to this ascension or this 100th monkey or the critical mass, you know, that
we're
trying to get to flip this planet around.
I think it's also exciting that we are seeing people, I mean, mass numbers of people all over the world. And we've got, you know, complete countries like Peru, which has absolutely kept Monsanto out, and these people have stopped the trucks. I was in Peru recently, and my guide was telling us how the trucks were stopped in Lima, and they were simply not allowed to traverse the mountains. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting how the darkest force, of course, you'll agree that this is how it works. It's taken a brutally dark force to awaken a lot of people to the point of the 100th monkey, as you said. So there, you know, as I always tell people, there's darkness, there's light in darkness, and that's the proof. You know, here we are, the ubiquitous, omnipotent Monsanto, and it's the very Monsanto that's waking people up.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because there are still people that are really seeking, you know, acceptance and approval, you know, outside of themselves through the external program, and they're part of the network, you know, and they're trying to move up the ladder, and get the fancy car and the high paying job and within these institutions. And they need to wake up and smell the coffee because they're actually selling their soul. You know, the more they move, the further away, higher up they go on these institutions, the further away they get from their soul. You know, I love what Krishnamurti said. You know, he said, it's no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And if we look at the condition of our economy, of our society, of our environment right now, we are profoundly sick. And so obviously to try to adjust to that and be a part of that, to me, is a form of insanity because, you know, it's doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And it's time to try something different because the program we're now operating under and the system we're now under is totally dysfunctional and it's unsustainable.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, of course. The obvious question that comes, I'm sure, to you and to me and to many is many people are asking, why are these forces of light not interacting more powerfully? Why are we not getting more? I have my answer to this question already, but I'm going to throw it out to you. Why are they not intervening? Why are they waiting, holding back, waiting? Why aren't we getting the full banana?
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many of us are asking for it?
But I think that it's because, you know, we're the ones that are making the mess on this planet. We can't blame the Illuminati for everything, the reptilians for everything, because we're the ones using the gas. We're the ones spoiling the environment. We have to own up to that until we do, because now there's this whole, you know, let's blame the reptilians for the fate of the planet. Until we own up to our role in this, saviors aren't going to come and fix the boo-boo. So if we do honor and understand karma, we've got to stand up to our own karma.
Well, you know, I don't see any reptilians out there drilling, you know, in the oil wells. And I don't see them driving the ships that are crashing, you know, and falling apart in the ocean, you know. And I don't see the reptilians, you know, yeah, they're inspiring certain things and they're behind the scenes. But, I mean, people are doing it. You know, people are willingly participating in their own demise. And it is true. It's like, it's an immense babysitting job for them to come back and keep cleaning everything up for us. And then we just mess it up again.
Exactly.
Yeah. And people go, why don't they're going to beam us all up. We don't have to worry about anything. We're just going to max out our credit cards and live clam hog. You know, because on December 21st, we're all going to be beamed up and we're going to hold hands singing Kumbaya. You know, and I told him, I said, good luck with that one. I said, what are they going to do, infect another planet? You know, I said.
Exactly what I tell people, too. Great. So we get all the good guys get beamed up and we go destroy another planet until we figure this out. Come on, people. We don't need a savior. We need to look within ourselves and stand up for the planet and make the changes. They're going to heal the planet. And until we get that right, nobody's going to come in and fix it.
But even the savior thing, again, that's external. That's total disempowerment. Because everybody's looking inside of themselves. They think Jesus is going to return and save the planet. The ETs are going to come and save the planet. You know, the ETs are working very hard on our behalf on removing the negative influences that have been steering us in the wrong direction, that hijacked the planet. They are working on that level. But the bottom line is that we have to clean up our own mess and we have to do our own inner work and, you know, rise to the occasion and clear out all the wounds and traumas and the false programming and, you know, attitudes and emotions that are creating all this mess. And then we can have contact with them and work side by side with them. And they will help us clean up our planet. You know, the old saying is God helps those who help themselves. And if we're going forward in that direction and we're asking for help and we're doing our part, we're going to get all the help we need. But if we're sitting back and continuing, you know, to be a part of the problem rather than the solution and think somebody else is going to come do it for us, then we're going to have a real rude awakening.
I think that you and I are really kindred spirits. I'm really delighted to not have to listen to the stories of motherships coming. And I just get very frustrated with that kind of approach, because it is the Judeo-Christian idea of the Messiah or Jesus, whoever it is going to come and fix the boo-boo. So I'm glad you're on that same page.
But it seems all the major religions have the big boo-boo fixer that's coming, you know? And
that's right.
Yeah, and, you know, we can totally trash the planet. It. Yeah, and we can trash the planet up to that event. You know, don't worry. You know, somebody's going to fix it. You know, the Jesus, or I can't remember, who's the guy that's going to climb out of the well over in the Muslim tradition? They'll have this somebody that's going to come up out of the well or send down from the heaven or something that's going to come and fix everything, you know, or like you're saying, the government's going to come and fix everything. They're the ones that are messing everything up. Come on, you know, figure it out. So every agency
that's still holding to the idea that the government's working in our best interest to keep us safe and they're make it better. It's just like in the Twilight Zone. I'm sorry. I have very little patience for that mentality. Well, if it's safe, here's my house and my life and my liver.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have the Department of Defense, which is really the Department of Offense to ensure the corporations, you know, get the resources they need. You know, the Health Department is actually the opposite. I mean, considering, you know, that we have all these incredible cures coming out for almost everything, but you don't hear about them because they've been suppressed. You
know, that's right. If it heals, you've got the government on the case of these people. A lot of them are dying mysteriously or trying to outrun the government, like what's his name?
Yeah, I forget his name too.
But all
these guys, yeah, it's like, you know, it's just unbelievable the technology we have right now. I just saw some technology coming out of Israel where they have ultrasound attached to an MRI thing, and they're taking out tumors, blood clots, everything, and it's like Star Trek technology. We've had that for a long time, and there's spiritual technologies that can do that as well. But we've got all this stuff, but it's going to put the operating table out of business, you know, in the hospitals and things like that, you know. So it'd be interesting to see if they let this thing come out. And you know, there's all kinds of technologies, even the oxygen therapies I was working with the oxygen water, where they crystallize oxygen and suspend it in water. That oxygen is the highest systemic antibiotic you can get, you know, and cancer is anaerobic. You know, you got to have acidic blood and low oxygen levels for cancer to exist. So there's all of these incredible cures out there and technologies that will keep the body healthy and back things out of the system and things like that that have been highly suppressed over the years. And my dream here is to have a place where we can use, you know, all these frequency, you know, healing technologies and the waters and the other technologies, create a Patch Adams place with the highest technologies there for healing. And I know where those technologies exist, but being able to put something that together within this system is going to be quite a feat, because they're going to do all they can to stop it.
Yes, they are. But with spirits like ours, they're not going to be able to stop it. So
no. Also Mexico. I have friends in Mexico, and I know a lot of doctors down there that are doing all these therapies, even stem cell therapies and radionic therapies and just, you know, dark blood therapy, all these things. They're doing them down there in Mexico. So I've just made connections down in Mexico with these people and creating a network down there.
Yeah, there's a woman doing a coffee colonics there, curing miraculous cures of cancer. People that are in 3 months to live sentences from the hospitals are going down. Do you know about that?
Yeah. I think, isn't she also using juicing and colonics together?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, people are just totally turning around. It's amazing, these clinics, what they can do and the healing potential of your body if you just stop what you're doing and, you know, give it what it needs, the body will heal itself. It's like, there's an old saying, food should be your medicine, but look what's happening to our food right now, you know? And so if we get closer to the ground, you know, get a really pure source of water, start growing our own food, get as natural as you can, you'd be surprised most of your ailments just go away.
Yes, that and the vegetarianism. I'm a devout vegetarian, and I've recently become a vegan, and I don't know about you, but I really think that in order to become sensitized to the essence of life, it's time for people to stop eating the animals.
Yeah, I'm kind of more leaning towards more vegetarian, but I still eat a little fish and chicken now then. It's just my makeup. It for me personally, it's like, even I had a yoga teacher that I studied with for like 11 years, and she told me, in my case, because of my near death experience and everything else, and this is going to sound weird on the air, but she told me, she goes, James, she goes, you don't even know you have feet. You know, she said, everybody's trying to get up to the levels that you're already at, and you're trying to get back on earth.
Yeah, like, you need to be.
Yeah. And so she told me, she goes, you need to go out and eat a steak and get laid. So, this is my yoga teacher telling me this, you know, it was hilarious, you know, and it was right. I've been having real trouble just staying here and staying focused, you know, and being present, you know, on this planet right now.
And yeah, I understand that. I also am out there quite a lot, and I work a lot with, well, I don't eat meat, so but I once when I came up from the subterranean chamber, the first time I went in there alone, down the subterranean chamber in the pyramid, and I came up and I was just so ridiculously out of my body that the guy that got me in there said, Patricia, if you don't listen to me, you're gonna fly off of the ramp of the pyramid.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't. He said, I'm going to take you down there and we're going to eat. You're going to eat meat. And I said, I'm not a vegetarian.
I mean, I'm not a meat eater, I'm a vegetarian. He said, you are going to eat meat today. And he took me over and I did. I ate chicken and it brought me back down because I was just completely, it was impossible to come back into my body.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do overall that the human race is consuming just so many animals and we need to get that under control as well.
I agree. I've cut way back on it, but every once in a while I'm so ungrounded. And I had a good friend, she was a massage therapist, and she said, you know, she said, the problem with spiritual people is they're no earthly good. And I didn't really understand what she said at the time, but then I realized, you know, if you're not here and you're not present, you're no earthly good. I mean, you're out there in La La Land. Well, La La Land's fine. You know, it doesn't need fixing basically, but the real work is being done here on earth. So it's good to get our feet on the ground. And I do a lot of gardening and physical work, you know, and things like that, that helps me stay grounded.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, it's the work that we're doing is we've got to be grounded because we've got to be able to be convincing for people and solid. And people need to look to spirit leaders that are capable of being, you know, well adjusted, fully operative, all chakras functioning people. And it's easy to slip away from those chakras and just soar with the eagles, you know?
I'm sure you know. Well, they told me really clearly, they said, you know, all seven chakras need to be flowing. Like love needs to be flowing through all seven chakras, you know, to be
absolutely
flowing. And
that's
and
why we've got them.
Yeah. And they're talking about how bringing heaven to earth is bringing the energy down into every cell of your being and honoring your physical as an expression of God, you know, and then what happens, that creates a vibration in the body. And the body starts vibrating, even your cells, you know, start vibrating. And that's the ascension process, not trying to leave and get out of here. It's by bringing spirit fully into the physical that you ascend. And you know, a lot of yogis have it backwards because they just say this body's dust, you know, I have no attachment, whatever. What happened? Their body turns to dust. They die, you know. The ones that ascended realize that you have to take a different approach. You have to fully embody spirit. You know, bring it into the physical, and then the body ascends, and then you take the body with you, and that's the ascension process.
Isn't it all just so wonderful?
Yeah, it's quite a journey down here. I mean, we're all being tested to the inch of our core right now with these energies coming in, and I've just seen on every level people are being tested, you know, and it's just a shift, and there's times we just have to let go. You know, we have to just pull our energies in and let go and surrender and allow whatever's discordant or dysfunctional or whatever to fall away from ourselves as we go through this process.
Yeah, but it's so wonderful that we live in this time, that we decided to come in at this time, and that we have so much to work with and everything is available to us. And certainly you are there out there with helping people actually have those kinds of experiences that maybe wouldn't have had them otherwise. We're in a wonderful position doing wonderful work. And so we really thank you for holding that energy and anchoring that incredible vortex.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been fun. You know, it's been quite a journey and quite a challenge, but I love it. It's really hard to be anywhere else just because the energy is so high here and the veils are so thin. It's like I don't need a TV for entertainment. All I have to do is look around me or close my eyes. There's beings everywhere, and you're never alone. And it's quite a journey. And I just don't know why anybody wouldn't do this. You know, why they would choose, you know, the old separation game and the materialism and everything else. You know, why they wouldn't choose to develop themselves, because it's just an amazing space to be in, to be surrounded by these just phenomenally loving, joyous beings, you know, these masters and nature spirits and everything else, and interact with them. You know, it's something that I think eventually the whole earth is going to come into being with.
Indeed. All right, James, look, we're running out of time. I'd like you to please feel free now to tell everybody how to reach you, how to find out about your programs, etc. Please feel free to blast away.
Okay, yeah, the best way to get us is go to eseti.org. That's our website. And if you want to find out about the June 28th and July 1st conference, you know, we've got a great lineup there. just send an email to esetireservations@gmail.com, or that's all on the website too. And we have a Kepacha event too coming up in August and you can find out of any speaking engagements. I'll be speaking in Sedona and, it looks like at the, Joshua Tree Conference as well. So that's coming up June 21st and 22nd. So all the information's on the website.
Fantastic. You know, I haven't been to the United States for a long time, but it's very tempting for me to plan to come out and spend some time out there. I'll work on that.
You have to come see this place. It's one of the natural wonders of the planet, basically.
Yeah. I might have to break my no U.S. rule. So I'll talk to you about that privately.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a million, James. All right, everybody. You've been listening to Beyond the Matrix, my first 9 p.m. show on Saturday. That's for you people who say it's too early in the morning to tune in, Patricia, on your 11 a.m. So I'm bringing this to you now at 9 p.m. every other week, and I hope you'll tell your friends. Pat Corey ramping it up as much as I can. And please remember, I'm returning to Egypt. It's Egypt by Night. This is the only program that gets you into 4 temples in the middle of the night. Just try to imagine walking into Karnak Temple at 4 in the morning with nobody but us ancient priests and priestesses entering that energy field. And you want to talk about spirits and energies and craft, man. Whew, boy. So if you're interested, please contact me at info@syrianrevelations.net. The dates are November 13 to 25. This tour usually fills up really fast, so please get on it. And, you know, whether it's going to James's place or whether it's coming with me on a tour or wherever, take yourselves to the experience. Take yourselves to the sacred sites. Take yourself to the adventure of life. Live every moment of your life with adventure, out of fear, out of the fear zone, out of the matrix. In the free thought zone, soaring with the eagles. This is Patricia Corey. You've been listening to Beyond the Matrix. Thanks, you. I'll be back next week at 11 a.m. So Pacific Standard Time. So set your calendars and thank you for listening. Tell your friends this exists because mainstream media isn't going to tell you the truth. Thank you for tuning in. Good night.